Today on Real Radio.
In chapter 17, that was his entire argument about us belonging to the kingdom, being ready for his return and walking with him. And now Jesus continues on in chapter 18 about the power of the believer when it comes to prayer and how we need to be people of prayer.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first verses of chapter 18, wherein the Messiah gives an analogy on prayer. What is prayer? As a believer, do you pray enough? Do you somehow think your prayers are not worthy to be heard? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It.
Don't just stand there, pray about it. Now listen, I need all of your attention today. This is serious stuff. When you and I think about prayer, what is the first thought that comes in your mind? Chances are most Christians have admitted that when they think about prayer, that it's often a discouraging topic to them. Number one, they believe that they don't pray enough. Well, number one, every one of us in this room, we do not feel or believe that we pray enough. Number two, we often don't pray because we're afraid our prayers will not be heard. And that, friend, comes from a lack of faith. Today's message and next week's message will give us boldness and strength regarding these two concerns. Will God listen to me? And how can I pray more? I think you're going to be encouraged this morning that you might find out that you pray a lot more than you think you do. And maybe we've all misunderstood this whole concept of prayer to begin with. If forever now you begin to read your Bible or think that if you could take the word prayer, just insert there talk or talking. God wants you and I to talk to him and he wants to talk to us. That whole dynamic of dialogue is called prayer. When we pray, a lot of people think, well, if I pray, I don't think my situation is that bad because people are saying pray about it like it's really terrible. You guys, that's the wrong way to look at prayer. We should be people as Christians. By the way, how many of you are Christians today? You see, Jack, somebody told me the other day, Jack, don't ask us that anymore, because I know people who are not even Christians who come to this church who raise their hand when you ask that question. And I just saw thousands of hands go up. But that's God's business to determine or to decipher between you and all that kind of stuff where you're at with him. But right now in the sanctuary, everyone raises their hands for whatever reasons to say that you're a Christian. Well, listen, one of the things that Christians do is Christians pray. But we need to understand what that means and what it's all about and how prayer is literally a great privilege that you and I do not take so much advantage of, and we ought to. It should be as natural to the believer as breathing. But why isn't it? Pastor, do we have to go to a prayer meeting to pray? No. We should go to prayer meetings, but not limit our prayer time to a prayer meeting. What does it mean to pray, and what are the dynamics of prayer? I personally own many, many books on prayer, and I have to confess this. Most of the books I've read on prayer have discouraged me greatly. These guys who write these books on prayer, they live in a whole other realm. I don't even know, what they know. By the time I read what they've read, I feel like giving up before I even get started. These guys are like super Christians. I think of people like Martin Luther who would pray 4 hours a day before he would get going for the day. I don't pray 4 hours a day like Martin Luther prayed. I think of Andrew Murray, great, great author and books on prayer. I love Andrew Murray's writings. You should buy everything Andrew Murray has ever written on prayer. But when I read about what he said we ought to be doing, I begin to look at it through a certain set of eyes and I begin to get so discouraged, I get so depressed that I don't even think God's going to listen to a prayer of an absolute scumball like me. These are great men of God, great people of God. The problem is I've read into their writings things that were not really there. I have misunderstood prayer. And for this, many Christians don't pray, and that's a crime. Yep, it's entitled, Just Don't Stand There, Pray About It, because that's what we need to start doing. And it is my prayer, and by the way, I think it's going to be answered. The way this world's going, my friend, the way it's going to be going, we will really be people of prayer. We're going to pray a lot with all that's coming. This is a crazy time. Aren't you glad you have the Lord at times like this? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm glad. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them. Jesus speaks a parable. And here it is, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And this is how he's going to explain the urgency of that. Verse 2, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, this widow, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is part one of a part two message. We'll cover verses 1-6 this morning. But if you're a note taker, and I pray that all of you are, I'm asking you to write this down, that this is a parable of contrast. It's very important you understand that. I'm going to save you a lot of grief. Because there are some great Bible scholars who say that this is a picture, none other than the widow being a picture of the Christian. And they'll say that the judge is a picture of God the Father. I want you to know something. I completely disagree with that. I believe Jesus is teaching this parable, this parabolic teaching, by using a contrast. You and I are not poor and alone like the widow he's speaking about. You and I, as we'll see in Scripture in a moment, you and I are children of the kingdom of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got the Word of God. We're never alone, and we're not powerless. And then what about the judge? Can you equate this judge who doesn't care about man or care about God as being the Lord? I don't think so. Jesus' entire argument is basically this. If this wicked judge listened to this woman who's whining and complaining and droning on to answer her just to get her out of the way, he says, listen to what the judge had to say. Now Jesus counters by saying, listen, the father is not like the judge, and the widow is not like the believer. If in an evil context an answer comes, how much more will an answer come to those who belong to the kingdom of God? In chapter 17, that was his entire argument about us belonging to the kingdom, being ready for his return and walking with him. And now Jesus continues on in chapter 18 about the power of the believer when it comes to prayer and how we need to be people of prayer. So mark it down. Point number one is found right here in verses 1-3. And that is, just don't stand there, pray about it. Because listen, Christian, your God is waiting to hear from you. You need to write that down and be encouraged by that. God is waiting to hear. The Lord is waiting to hear from you and I. He wants us to pray. How many of you are parents? Remember when your kids were little, you poured yourself into them beginning like this. Say dada. Say dada. Remember that stuff? Say mommy. Mommy, mommy, and you would listen so intently. You could have been working in the yard, doing the dishes, cleaning the house, and you hear Junior or Little Miss America say, "Mama," and what happened when you heard that the first time? You stop. You call people. You get the video camera out. Say it again. Say it again. Mama, ma. Why? Because as a parent, you're longing and waiting to hear from them, aren't you? You're pouring your existence into them that they might begin to show signs of life, intelligent life. They begin to talk back. It's amazing for a while. Then you want them to shut up. But no, I'm kidding. But you're speaking to them with hopes of them speaking back to you. The Father's the same way. He pours this word into us, waiting to hear back from us. And when we begin to cry out to him, it's the song of heaven. I believe that when you and I pray, it trumps every angelic orchestration of music whatsoever. God is waiting to hear from you. And so when the Bible says in verses 1 to 3, it says right here, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. That is the fact. Jesus is saying, don't stop praying and don't give up on praying. Stay at it. And then he says, basically, I'm going to explain it to you as to why you ought to keep praying and why you shouldn't lose hope. And he begins to explain or lay out to us this parable. The first thing that we realize in verse 1 is about priority. You and I need to be talking to our God and making it our priority. And I'm going to ask you to make this a life-changing experience for 2009. Make it your priority. He says men ought always to pray. I want to encourage you to look at it this way, to make prayer a priority. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me. I want to suggest that that first begins in an act of prayer. All you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do we not all have burdens? And our burdens are going to increase. What are we going to do? Are you going to worry about it? That's not going to help. We need to pray about it and understand that the very nature of God is that our relationship, our dialogue with him in prayer should be a priority in our lives. Church, we so often divorce ourselves from the very act because we make it out to be a legalistic, big, hard, difficult thing to do. Don't get me wrong. There are times when you persevere and labor in prayer. Maybe when someone is injured or sick, or maybe you have a wounded child in some way, or maybe your marriage is in a bad spot. And there's times when you fast and you pray and you cry out to God in fervent prayer. That's excellent, and there's times for that. But I want to suggest to you who are Christians today, I think we pray a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. But I want you to keep this in mind. Make it a priority to start talking to God more than ever before. You say, Jack, how do I do that? That's an important question. It is taken upon your existence as a believer, and you're going to have to willfully do this, that I'm going to talk to God more. I'm going to seek God more. How do you make him that priority in your life? Jot it down. We need to exercise the presence of God in our lives. That is, we need to live in a way that the reality of God is ever present before us. The Bible calls this being in his presence. The Bible calls it walking with God. But I want to put this picture in your mind. Imagine you walking up to a door and it is labeled the presence of God. You are to open that door and walk into that room. And in that room is not only the Lord, but everything you need for life. You need to grab that doorknob and you need to open it up and you need to get yourself in that room. And here's the cool thing. Shut the door and take that room with you everywhere you go. Have you ever seen The Boy in the Bubble? A friend of mine pastors a church in Texas, and he was the boy in the bubble. He lived in a bubble for years. God healed him, and he now pastors a great church in Texas. Everywhere he went, he had to take his life support system with him. I'm encouraging you that when you and I decide, I am going to live and walk and exist in the reality of God's presence, I'm going to be a person. Listen, I know you don't feel like this, but too bad. You're going to choose to be this. I'm going to be a person of prayer this year. I'm going to walk with God. Be in that bubble like a little hamster in a wheel. I'm going to go. And wherever that hamster goes, he's in that bubble. Wherever that Christian goes, you're in the bubble of God's presence. Think of it that way if you must. There's an Old Testament guy that thought of it like that. His name was Enoch. In Genesis 5:24, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So what does that mean? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken from this world so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as to one who pleased God. What did Enoch do to please God? The Bible says right there in Genesis 5 that he walked with God. So, what are you going to do today after service? The answer is you're going to walk with God. Well, where am I going to walk with God? Wherever you go. Drive, walk, sleep, sit, go, stand still with God. Isn't he everywhere anyway? Yes. But even though he's everywhere anyway, you need to practice the presence of God. Did you know that when you go to lunch today or go home to mow your lawn today or do whatever you do today, that God is with you? So start talking to him. You mean pray? Well, if you want to use the word prayer, go ahead and use the word prayer. I'll use the word talk. Because when you talk and walk with God, that's true prayer. Well, what should I pray about? I don't know. What's bothering you? So many times people will say, Pastor, I need prayer for this. What's going on? And they lay out this story, and then I'll ask them, have you filled out a prayer request regarding this? No. Have you prayed yourself regarding this issue? No. Well, then you know what? Come back when you're serious. You don't need to talk to me. I'm serious about what I'm saying. People will cry and moan and weep over the situation, and then you ask them, have you prayed about it? No. Well, you know what that means? It means it's not bad enough yet. Your situation hasn't gotten bad enough yet. I'm being sarcastic right now. We should be praying all the time. Why? Because when a catastrophe comes, we can have great peace knowing, hey, I've been praying. This catastrophe has come to me. Oh, Lord God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. Make it a priority. And God, who is always listening, will answer us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You say, now come on. How can I be on my knees all day long? I got to go to work. I got to do my thing. That's not what the Bible didn't say, stay on your knees all day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That verse alone declares that we need to be in the attitude of prayer. Attitude of prayer. That's constant. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? As a believer, when you wake up in the morning, before your feet hit the ground, aren't you already conscious of God before your feet hit the ground? When you wake up and you're kind of in that weird zone, it's like, am I waking up or am I dreaming or is this, what day of the week is this? I know it's going to be a tough day when it's Sunday and I wake up and what day of the week is this? Man, within, I'm going to say milliseconds, nanoseconds of time, doesn't your heart go to the fact, oh God, thank you, Lord, thank you. This morning I got up as I usually do. Lord, thank you for keeping us through the night. And then I always say before, because I'm so pathetic, I need God's help constantly. Before my feet hit the ground, I have a little routine. And that is, Lord, fill me with your spirit that I would walk with you today in Jesus' name. And then my feet roll off the bed and then my feet touch the ground. I make it a big point to do that. Covered. Thanks, God. But that's important. Pray without ceasing is walking about, living, constantly talking to God. God, what about this? I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning, but you saw that peachy, sherbet-looking sky, and you say, Lord, thank you. You see that flower? I've never seen that flower before. That is an amazing, God, you're awesome. Look at that flower. Isn't God awesome? Just amazing stuff. What is that? That can't be real. That's a flower. That's awesome. God is amazing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, look for God in things. Ask him, speak, Lord, how do you want me to respond? Remember, hey, we just came out of Christmas. Were you not praying, oh God, give me a parking spot in the name of Jesus? Did you not pray that prayer? You were immersed in a situation that required you to be thinking prayer. God would say to us today, every moment you move and breathe, Jack, is a situation that requires prayer. Be in the attitude of prayer. You can pray while you're driving down the street. You can pray while you're talking to people. Did you know that? Sometimes I'm praying while I'm delivering a message. Literally, God's doing his thing. My mouth's flapping, and I'm saying, Lord, help me out here. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me the next line that you want me to say. It's pretty wild, pretty awesome. But make it a priority. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen, let your requests be made known unto God. That verse goes on to say, in the peace of God. Don't you want peace? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? Here's the verse. Take your pill. It's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, you need to take that verse and say, God, this is my priority. I am not going to be anxious for this. I'm losing my job, I'm losing my home, or whatever is going on right now. God, how are we going to make it? Listen, you're to cry out to Him. This is real life stuff. God's Bible is big enough for the events coming to this world. The only way that you're going to be able to survive, and I'm going to be able to survive, is that we pray always and not faint, not give up. And then the Bible says in the Amplified Version of the Bible, Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times. The word is on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, to keep alert and to watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Pray at all times. That's an amazing and awesome thing that is. And then also this, look at the latter end of verse 1. Men ought not to lose heart. That means this, discipline. We need to talk to a God who wants to hear from us, and talking to God, we need to make it our discipline. We all know what discipline is. Discipline is an act that you do on a routine basis, or we would say religiously. It's something that's not always fun or easy or whatever, but you discipline yourself to do it. For example, we need to teach our children to be disciplined about perseverance in life. We need to teach ourselves that we need to see this all the way through to the end, don't we? Discipline implies that we'd stay strong at it until we reach the finish. Discipline. A person involved in competition is very familiar with discipline. I'm going to do this. Paul the Apostle said, I'm going to finish the race in which Christ has set me on. To be disciplined. Every one of us as believers need to be disciplined. We will not lose heart if we're disciplined. Prayer brings, listen, we need to be disciplined because prayer brings my emotions under control. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you suffer from the attack of emotions? Every one of us, to some degree, some greater, some less. You say, well, how do you know? Well, how are you prone to be discouraged from time to time? Do you ever have fear or doubts about something? You ever have a tendency to worry? That plays upon our emotions. How do you get your emotions under control? Jesus said it. Listen, pray always and don't faint. Why do we faint? Why do we cave in? Why do we give up? Because emotions have gotten the best of us because we haven't prayed. Are you panicking? You're not praying. Are you prone to worry and fear, doubt? You're not praying. Look, I know this from experience. My mother taught me how to worry. She taught all of us kids how to worry. I tell you, becoming a Christian set me free from that. It's awesome. But maybe you worry. You say, how do I know? You biting your fingernails? Stomach upset? Heart of sleeping? Rest in the Lord. But you have to discipline yourself. Well, how do I do that? You need to pray. Talk to God. He's waiting. Listen, it's certainly this. If we do not pray, we will lose heart. And that's a fact. The Bible says in Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It. It's actually a mini-series which is taken from chapter 18 of Luke's New Testament narrative, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament record, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that if you haven't logged on to the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit, realradioactive.org. Just a quick point and click will take you to podcasts, MP3s, special offers, resources, even our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, which is seen on television as well as on hischannel.com. You'll find it all at the new realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.